This week's mailbag comes to us from Jessica. I am starting round four of the 100-day home organization program, and I am celebrating 1 year of the kids program in our family routine. This is not spam. I'm just really loving where I'm at. These programs really work. I am not perfectly following or doing every aspect of what Lisa offers, but the tools and mind shift the programs have given me and my family are now successful habits. 15 minutes a day, it works. Kids checklists, it works. I'm sitting in the middle of paper pile right now, but it's not too overwhelming. I know where it all needs to be sorted to. Our first day of virtual school had a lot of tears, but it was worth the headache of it all. Kids had planners, clear workspaces, and all the plugs we needed. We all felt in control of this weird situation. I do not have a spotless home, but we have an organized home that has helped keep us calm, and a kids' Saturday routine that has kept us grounded and helped us to know what day of the week it was. None of the kids love chores or organizing, but they do it because it's a habit. Thank you, Lisa.
Do you have an organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. I love books. I love reading books. I love listening to books. I love talking about books. And I especially love nonfiction self-help books. Self-help books and business books. Anything about business. And the longer I own Organized 365 and the more success we have, the more I feel like I need to read books even faster. What is it that I don't know as a stay-at-home mom, former direct selling consultant, teacher? Like, I have zero business training. Like, what don't I know? And the more I read these business books, you guys, being a teacher is the best business experience you can have. Like, I look at my team as if we're in a classroom. I make sure they have the materials they need. I make sure they know what lessons they're working on. They ask me questions. We come together in morning meeting and we have discussions about what we're going to learn about next. We celebrate. We have fun thematic lunches. We have little treats like you have at school. Honestly, I no longer think that my teaching training is a detriment at all. As a matter of fact, I'm now explaining to coaches that I'm paying why the way I look at business as a Montessori environment and all these different things is actually like a blessing for our company. So let me just tell you, I have started reading some books that are parables, and I love parables. I think they're parables. Maybe they're called something else. It's when you listen to a book that's a nonfiction book that is like teaching you fact only in story form. So I love the book Traction, which teaches you how to run an EOS company, but I love the book Get a Grip even more than the book Traction. And Traction tells you all the tactical how to set up your company in EOS, but Get a Grip is a fictional story about their leadership team at the beginning all the way to the end of their 12 months going through this transition of implementing EOS in their company. I have read Traction twice. I have read Get a Grip 5 times. I love Get a Grip. Like, I just love listening to the interplay between the two owners back and forth as they're trying to figure out their leadership team and trying to move things in there. Like, the nuances that come from telling the story versus just the facts of how to implement EOS into your company. And so I've been trying to find more of these books, and I don't even know how I stumbled on this book, but I stumbled on the book The Phoenix Project by Jean Kim. I think I was just searching Audible, and I started listening, and it was basically the story about how IT became development and ops. Like, they combined those two departments, which I'm not an IT company. Like, I don't even need to know these things, but I listened to the book and I was hooked. I was so hooked on this book that by the end of chapter one, I cleared my schedule for the weekend and all I did was try to figure out how to get more time to listen to this book, which I finished in a day and a half. The Phoenix Project is a fictional story about this IT department that has to get information done. And they referenced inside of that book another book that they had based this book on called The Goal. So The Goal was actually published in the 80s, and that was by Eliu Goldratt. So he published the book The Goal back in the 80s. It's been revised since then. Basically, this taught me, like, what is the Kanban method of best practice, lean manufacturing, all those things, which I never studied. I'd heard of them, but I never studied them. You guys, I'm listening to this book and I'm going, I do this. I set up a whole inventory system for Organize 365, basically to the letter of how you set up a Kanban system using Home Depot bins, Home Depot shelving, and just mapping out the most logical step in order to get the warehouse inventoried and over into shipping. And then also I use the bins to show us when we are at max kitted capacity and what needs to be kitted when we have time going forward. So when I see kitting, I mean, like, if you have a Sunday basket, you know that you get a bag of goodies plus your Sunday basket color of choice. So you get a 1.0, a 2.0, a packet of printables, a catalog, a thank you card, all of that gets kitted into a bag. And then we pick out whatever color Sunday basket you chose and we put all that in a box and we mail it to you. So obviously we can kit up all of those contents that go with the Sunday basket like a month in advance. And then the day you order your color Sunday basket, we just grab that, grab a kit, put it in a box, and move it out. Even better than that, we have a shelf in Organize 365 where we can keep 12 of each color Sunday basket already kitted in a box, sealed, ready to be grabbed. Just put the label on it straight out the door to you as fast as possible because our postal service guy comes at 9:30 a.m. and we want to ship out as fast as possible. So the girls get in like at 8:15 and by 9:30 a.m. they can have 100 packages ready to go for our postal service guy because it's already boxed up. All they have to do is put a label on it. And then in the afternoon, they replenish those boxes. And then the colors we sell more of, we have 24 kitted up ready to go. And I figured out a way to double that amount in the shelving that we just put in. So essentially, this is like the lean manufacturing Kanban system, which I have more about that. I'll talk to you about that in episode 3 of this work series that I'm going to talk about. So as I was listening to this, you know, I listen to a lot of books both to learn, but also to gain confidence that what I'm doing is actually right. Like, I listened to these books and I was like, I'll be darned. I figured this out on my own. Like, I figured out how some of the best companies in the world run their shipping and warehouse departments on my own. Just by going over on the weekends and walking through and thinking about it and thinking about the order of how things come in and how they get put together and how many of those things will we need and as we scale up and yada, yada, yada. I just think all the time like it's my own personal jigsaw puzzle with real people and real inventory. So as I listened to both of these books, they talked about the fact that there are 4 different kinds of work. And this quarter 3 in 2020, Organize 365 was doing the worst kind of work almost all of the time. We were still happy about it, but we were doing the first kind of work called firefighting. You can relate, right? Like the website was delayed, the app was delayed, the products were delayed. If there was something that could go wrong in the third quarter of 2020 for Organize 365, it pretty much did. But we were all positive. We were positive it was going wrong. And we just kept figuring out how to pivot and iterate. And by the end of the quarter, we had achieved all our goals and everything had been fixed except for the app being launched, which was still delayed. But I'm sure by now it's been launched. I'm sure you have it and it's great and it's fine. I'm over it. I'm not over it, but I'm over it. But as we were having all these issues internally inside of Organize 365, and you guys are so gracious. Oh, we know the whole website's down. It's fine. I love you guys so much. My husband's like, you have the best clients. Like, I don't know. They're like sending you lovely emails about it. It's fine. We'll wait. Don't worry about it. He's like, my customers would be livid. I was like, I don't know. They're the best. I don't know what to tell you. It's all working now. And I'm listening to these books. And I'm saying to myself, I know that what I'm doing, I know the new website we're putting in place will scale indefinitely. Like a custom coded PHP website, it will scale indefinitely in any company. Like moving to the new warehouse won't scale indefinitely, but definitely for the next 3 to 4 years. Getting an app, oh my gosh, will enhance your experience amazingly well. Getting a new design of the Sunday basket, which took us quite a while to do, and then getting that inventory replenished and up to where we wanted it to be. A lot of orders, a lot of days, a lot of money, a lot of moving boxes, but it's worth it. It's worth it to have switched the Sunday basket. We have more colors. All those things are worth it. And I'm listening to this book as I'm doing it, and they're talking about firefighting. And I'm like, yeah, I'm very aware of firefighting kind of work. And as you listen to the Phoenix Project, these different kinds of work are revealed to you, and the head of the plant has to figure out what the kinds of work there are. So spoiler alert, I am going to tell you all 4 kinds of work. So if you don't want to listen to these so that you could go listen to those and find out what the kind of work are spontaneously, it'll still be just as good if you know the kinds of work. So inside of Organize 365, I was thinking about firefighting. And then I thought, as I usually do, well, you know, this totally relates to work. I bet these 4 kinds of work inside of business are also the same 4 kinds of work we have inside of our household, only nobody's looking at how that works. And I was right. So I'm going to go through each of these kind of work. I'm going to explain what the kind of work is and then how you can get into better work patterns. So the first kind of work that we identified, which is firefighting. And the reason why we always identify firefighting first is because it is the kind of work that raises your blood pressure, makes your adrenaline go. You've got a deadline. You've got to finish it. Like there's something that has to be done. Something is on fire. We've got to put it out. And I had gotten to the point in my life in 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12, where firefighting work was the only kind of work I did. Like if somebody's hair was not on fire, I felt like something was wrong. Like I did not like it if there was not a crisis to be solved. And there were times, in hindsight, I realized I created crises just to solve them. Just horrible. Like, why would you do that? Maybe you've done it too. Or you know somebody who does this. Like, when everything seems to be going along just fine, all of a sudden they have this major traumatic thing, which may or may not be a traumatic thing. Actually, in the last year, I've had quite a few big things happen. And I said to myself, well, what if I decided that this is not a big deal and I just wait and see how this plays out? And in every instance, within 7 days, whatever it was that could have turned into like a catastrophic fire that would have needed so many resources and time and everything to take care of, just went away. Didn't actually materialize into the big issue that I thought it was going to be. And I often say to you, the first thing you need to do when you're ready to go from a reactive life to a proactive life is get a Sunday basket. And it is because the Sunday basket puts out fires. It contains them and then it puts them out. And it takes the Sunday basket about 6 weeks to do it, but it is a containment and a fire putter outer situation. That's exactly what it does. And I thought to myself, okay, so I understand in the parable what is going on in the business and how they solved the firefighting problem and worked into the second kind of work. But how does that happen at home? Like, I know that the Sunday basket will contain whatever your fire is and then give you some time and give you the space in order to get those fires at least into a manageable level and taken out. How can I explain it in a more concrete way? So here's some ideas. I think that basically, I'm going to stop call it firefighting, especially for those of you in California. And let's change that to reactive work. Reactive work versus proactive work. So we all know what proactive work is. Like, I know what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it. it may not happen perfectly. I may have to pivot, whatever. But reactive life is where you just keep feeling like the text goes off. You get a phone call, you get an email, the doorbell rings, your mother calls, the dog throws up. I mean, like, it's just like one thing after the other, all this firefighting. In a business, there's, you know, a set objective of like, we're trying to get this product or this service delivered from inside of someone's head, out created, marketed, sold, customer service delivered, done. Like, there's a flow. What is the flow inside of the home? Because until we can figure out where it breaks down, we can't solve it. Using work terminology, there are two things that happen inside a business that also happen inside of the home. And one is a constraint and the other one is a bottleneck. So a constraint is you can't change the size of your house unless you move. You can't change the amount of income coming in on your Friday paycheck unless you get a new job or a bonus. Like, there are certain constraints. Like, you have to make your decisions based on the size of your house, the amount of money that you have, the 24 hours that are in the day. Like, you cannot all of a sudden magically have 30 hours in the day. You're only allowed to have 25. Those are constraints. Those are limits. Those are truths for today, not forever. Can't get more time than 24 hours, but you could get more money. You could get a bigger house if you wanted to. Sometimes when you get organized, you realize you don't need to. The second thing that causes this firefighting mentality or this reactive mode are bottlenecks. And constraints sometimes take a little bit longer to change, like the amount of income you have coming in or the size of your space or whatever that is. But bottlenecks can be identified and eliminated quicker. As soon as you figure out what is truly not working and you change it, you almost can see instantaneous results. That's what a professional organizer does. That's what I did. Like, yes, the room was organized when I left in all of my professional organization jobs. But the true transformation was not that I cleaned and organized the room. The way I did professional organizing, the true transformation was I asked the homeowner a bazillion questions. And I found out how they used the space anyway and what wasn't working. And then I solved what wasn't working. Let me give you some concrete examples. Let's talk about, we're going to go through money, time, and space. And in each constraint or bottleneck, there's usually the same question. So with money, there's either not enough or it's not used effectively. And for us, we make enough money. So the fact that there's not enough at the end of the week tells me we are definitely doing something wrong. And what I have identified that is how our money is being used ineffectively is through fast food, which if you've listened to the podcast, you're like, finally, that caught up with her. Yeah, right. It's caught up with me in a big way because my kids are adults now and they eat adult-sized helpings and they don't order one thing when we go through fast food. I mean, it's like you've gone out to a nice restaurant by the time you go through the Chick-fil-A line. I'm like, this is ridiculous. So the constraint for us with food is not that we don't have enough money, but we're not using our money effectively because in addition to buying the fast food, my husband's also shopping at four different grocery stores every weekend, partly because it's his new pandemic habit. Like, what else can he do? There's nothing else to do. So he goes to four different specialty stores and he buys all this food that we don't necessarily eat. And then we buy the fast food. And so we're always hungry and there's nothing to eat, but it's ridiculous. The amount of money that we're spending is ridiculous. So we're in a firefighting reactive mode with our nutrition and our food. We just are. The second one would be time. Not enough time. Or your time is not used effectively. Now, not enough time, we've already established you can't get any more. So usually if you have a problem with time, it's almost always that you're not using it effectively. If you have two jobs and children under the age of five, I give you a permission to stick out your tongue at me while I say this. You're exempt. For the rest of us, usually it's that we're not using our time effectively. Let me give you two different examples. One is using your time doing activities at the wrong time of day. The other one is doing your activities in the wrong order. I've talked about these before. So when I get up in the morning, I do my tasks in a certain order. Number one, I get all my machines working. dishwasher, washing machine, whatever I've got going. If I'm going to clean the oven, turn the oven cleaner thingy on. All of my machines working first thing. Second, I check my email and I make sure that my team has answered all the questions they need answered. If an email's come in overnight or it's coming in the morning and somebody's waiting for me to approve something, give an answer, give permission, whatever, I do that first thing in the morning, because if they don't have the information they need, then they're waiting until the afternoon when I answer the email, and by then they may be gone at the end of the day. You see how this is going to take a lot of time. Especially if you work with contractors, if you need to get something scheduled at your house, like call and make sure you have the service guy scheduled. Don't put your phone calls off to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Call people at 9 a.m. I make all my phone calls first thing in the morning. People are happier when you call them. They have more availability on their calendar. You know it's done. Like any people you have to work with, they're number two. So machines, then people. Now you get to doing your work. And some days it could take an hour before I get to doing my work. But I have machines and other people working for me, so I'm getting three times the bang for my hour by the time I get to hour number two, so it's worth it. Doing things in a certain order will actually give you more time. The second one, doing things at the wrong time of day, I send you back to that book, The Power of When. The Power of When tells you what kind of a person are you. Are you a lion? Are you a bear? Are you a wolf? Are you a dolphin? It tells you when your best time of day is. I am a bear. I kept thinking I was a lion. I actually got up at 5 a.m. this morning to work on some content that I was writing, and I ended up in my email. And I was like, oh yeah, it's because I'm a bear. And bears do their best work between 9 and 5. And bears get up when the sun comes up, and they go to bed when the sun goes down, and they can go out and socialize, but they're not going to be there until 2 a.m., but they are going to go to the party. Like, the American life is set up for a bear. Work 9 to 5, watch a couple TV shows, go to bed, hang out on the weekend. Lions naturally get up at like 5 a.m. They're up, they're busy. Like, they peter out around 1 or 2 in the afternoon because they've done more by 1 or 2 in the afternoon than the rest of us will do by the end of the day, because they get up and they get going. They're lions. Wolves get their energy as the sun goes down. So their best time is like from like 4 o'clock in the afternoon on. And then dolphins pretty much never sleep. So if you know that you're a lion and your entire family is wolves, you're going to have problems. Greg and I are bears. Joey is a wolf. And Abby, you know, teenagers tend to have wolf tendencies even if they're not a wolf. Abby, I think, naturally is a lion, but she's acting like a wolf now because she's a teenager. Here's the problem with this. While I'm a bear, I'm a very lionish bear. When I am up and I'm dressed and I'm ready to go, I am ready to go. I could be on a TV show. I could do morning news. I mean, I'm ready. I'm ready to have a conversation. I'm ready to write a book. I could do whatever you want at 8 a.m. I'm ready. Joey's ready around 2 in the afternoon, maybe. After dinner is best. Like, if we could talk after dinner, that would be great. By the time we're done with dinner, I'm ready for a bath, a puzzle, and bed. Like, I want to be done with people. At 4 o'clock, I'd like to be done with people. We eat dinner at like 5:01. We eat dinner very early, 6 o'clock, mom's done. Used to be when the kids were younger, I would make it all the way till 8. No. With the pandemic, I'm now upstairs doing my puzzle by like 5:15. Greg joins me for TV at 5:30. We're like, everybody loves Raymond, it is. And on TV, you're like, we're just watching sitcoms and we're just chilling for the rest of the day. We have gotten our big work done. So how do you at home work with different biological clocks in order to, how do you beat that constraint or that bottleneck? And for us, what I have found to be the most effective and the best is 4 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, that's when I will help you log into your computer thing or place your Amazon order or whatever requests the kids have for me. I'm done with my work. We're figuring out dinner. I'm going to be done by 6. We're going to work together at 4 o'clock. That is the golden hour from 4 to 6. That's when you can ask mom and she'll have all the conversation you want. If we go all the way till 8 o'clock, like, you could tell me whatever you want. You could sit there. You could talk to me. It's great. I'm not going to help you write a paper at 9 o'clock at night. I just can't do it. I did it for a long time. It doesn't work for me. So I'm like, no, see you tomorrow at 4. That's when I can do it. Same with Greg. I mean, he comes home at the end of the day, he's done. You guys know we are more tired this year than we've ever been. And it's biological. Like, we just cannot produce what we could produce in 2019. It's, even though we have more time at home, it's just not the same. So if you're still feeling like, why do I not have my capacity back? I don't know if we're going to have our capacity back for a while. Our brains are really reeling with all the changes that are going on. Then space. Again, the constraint is don't have enough and not used effectively. Hard to change how much space you have. You can always get a storage unit, whatever. But usually the true problem is it's not used effectively. I've talked on a couple of different podcast episodes about totally rearranging the rooms in your house. Let's not get that detailed. Normally, when I would go in on a professional organization consultation, I could make the tiniest changes that would be earth-shattering for the clients. We have a gorgeous drop zone that I created in our back hall with a bunch of hooks, just hooks drilled right into the wall. It's great. You can hang up backpacks, coats, whatever you want. But there was a period of time where the kids rode the bus and they came in the front door from the bus and then they would drop their backpacks right by the front door. So sometimes your solution is not where the problem is. Another way of looking at this is like if you or your spouse drop your keys and your wallet and your phone and your purse in a certain place, but there's another place where it's supposed to go, make the place where you drop it the place it's supposed to go. Buy a basket. Make it cute. If you're dropping your keys and your wallet and your purse the same place every day, that's the place. Make that function because the place that you do it naturally is the easiest place to maintain. Anybody have kids? Huh? No? Yes? Great. Here's the solution. Do not have your laundry basket anywhere other than right next to the shower. Whatever it takes. Figure out how to get the laundry basket right next to the shower. If it's there, the clothes will sometimes end up in the laundry basket, more often than not. If it is anywhere else, the odds of teenage kids getting clothes actually into a hamper are like 10%. Wherever you drop clothes, put the hamper right there, if at all possible. Do you have a printer? I'm finding out that a lot Gen Z totally does not have printers. A lot of millennials don't even have printers. If you're Gen X, silent generation, we have printers. We really like printers. I love my printers. Is your copy paper and your replacement toner right next to your printer? Right. When was the last time you had to add paper to your printer? And oh my gosh, it's somewhere else. I gotta get the paper. And then you've got to stop what you're doing and go get the paper or go get the toner and do all the things. Whereas if it's stored right next to the printer, it's super easy to do. As you go through your day, I want you to be, whenever you have to stop and go get something else, that is an example of a bottleneck or a space not being used efficiently. I loved this review. I had somebody try the free week of the 100-day program and they downloaded it and they watched all of the videos, which you can now do on the app. You can try the free week on the app. And they watched all the videos and they're like, it's like 12 minutes of content. It's like 7 90-second videos. Like, I would never buy the 100-day program if this is what the 100-day program is. She said, and then she walked into her laundry room and she saw so many things she had never seen before. And she got started and she got her laundry room organized. And she said, I don't know how you did this in 7 teeny tiny videos, but you made me look at my laundry room in a way I've never seen my laundry room before. And then she bought the 100-day program. You don't need to read 18 books on getting organized. You don't need a 90-minute lesson taught live by me with your questions being answered in real time in order to get your home organized. The process isn't complicated, but you have to be asking the right questions and looking at your space the right way. Here's a great example. In 2012, when my life completely fell apart, I quit my job, started Organize 365, and I tried to reclaim any sense of normalcy by getting organized in my house. I started in my kitchen. And on day 4 or 5 of organizing my kitchen, I realized that in order to pack the kids' school lunches in the morning, I had to open up almost every single drawer and cabinet in our kitchen. lunchbox was in one. Then I got the plastic silverware out of another. Then we had chips somewhere else and the little dessert was somewhere else. And then I had to open up the refrigerator and get something out of there. And by the time I was done, I had opened almost every single cabinet that we had in our house. And I was like, this is ridiculous. I mean, shouldn't all the lunch things be together? Furthermore, I didn't want the kids eating the chips and the desserts and all those things not at lunchtime because it's more expensive to buy it that way anyway. Like, I'll make you chocolate chip cookies. Okay, I'll buy you chocolate chip cookies if you stop eating the prepackaged ones that I have for lunches. They pulled everything that you needed to make lunches and while I was at it, breakfast, into one cabinet, and it was life-changing. I mean, life-changing. First of all, I stopped making the lunches because it was all in one cabinet. They could just do it themselves. Thank you very much. You don't need lunch packing supplies on the weekend. You don't need lunch packing supplies when you're making dinner. Like, you only need lunch packing supplies when you're making lunches. So they should be all by themselves in their own cabinet. Open one cabinet, get everything you need that's not refrigerated, add the refrigerated items, out the door. Like, so simple. And when you're getting an after-school snack, you're not looking at the lunch packing snacks. You're looking at different snacks. It was one of the best things I did in 2012. And it eliminated a bottleneck by creating a new constraint, by changing a cabinet to just breakfast and lunch things. It made our mornings go more smoothly. It made the kids more independent. And it saved me so much time. Okay, so reactive work, firefighting work, has an energy to it that actually gets your adrenaline going and makes you think of better solutions. And it's almost like having a cup of coffee where it's like, okay, I've got so much to do. I'm going to have to do these things in this order or it's not going to get done. So I'm going to make a list and I'm going to get it done. And some of us use that energy to keep us going and to keep us on task. Almost like me saying to my kids or my mom saying to me, did you brush your teeth? Did you get your backpack? Did you, you know, and you're like, okay. And you're creating almost that mom telling you what to do. And we get really, really used to living this way. We don't like it, but we kind of like it because if we really didn't like it, we would change it. So if reactive work, firefighting work, is the first kind of work, what's the second kind of work? I kind of have already mentioned it, which would be proactive work or what they call planned work. Obviously, when you think in a business, I was so frustrated in quarter three because I had planned work that I wanted us to get done in the company. And we got done the planned work that I set out at the beginning of the quarter, but the team knows I like to add in some extra projects along the way because it's just fun for me. Maybe I create a few fires. I'm getting better at not creating the fires. But I like to add in like, oh, you know what? This would be fun. We could get this done in a week. Let's add this on. And we usually add some of those on, not all of my ideas, but we usually add a couple on. And there was no adding. There was no adding. As a matter of fact, we had to take projects that we were going to do in quarter three and get rid of them. We had to hire more people in order to make sure just the goals that had to get done actually got done. Like, it was all the opposite of what I like to have happen. And I think the reason why I noticed it so much is because our work inside of Organize 365 has become so planned. It's awesome. Like, our quarter four is so planned. We're going to get so many really big goals accomplished in the last 13 weeks of the year. But it's not feeling like it's stressful. No one's feeling overworked. It's not feeling like it's rushed or hurried or reactive. It's very, very planned. And this is the kind of work we want. So if the Sunday basket helps you with your reactive work, gets all of those different projects you have going on under control in a folder, then the 100-day program helps you do planned work. How do you then start to containerize your house, start to chunk through getting your house, and start to have more of a plan and less reactivity when you go into each of your rooms? When you get up in the morning, you have more time to do what you want to do. You have a plan of what you're going to do. And I've said this many times before. If you've never tried it, I want you to try this totally free. Get like 10 index cards. And for the next 10 days, I want you to give me 5 minutes, just 5 minutes, Either after you have dinner or after you get ready for bed, I want you to open up your planner or open up your online calendar. I want you to look at it, and I want you to take one index card, and I want you to write down what you're going to do tomorrow in order. And when you write down what's on your calendar or what's in your planner, then I want you to ask yourself a couple of questions. These are bonus. This would be in addition. Number one, what are you going to wear? So figure out what you're going to wear tomorrow. You might have to look at your weather app to finish what's the weather going to be. You already know where you're going. Okay, what are you going to wear? Write it down. Number two, what are you going to eat? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, what are you going to eat? Think through that. And then number three, are there any household things that you need to do? Do you need to go pick up prescriptions? Do you need to clean the oven? I just mentioned that. And you're like, oh, that's right. I haven't cleaned the oven in like 6 months. Maybe I should clean the oven. Write those things on the list and write them where you would do them. So if you're going to clean the oven, you're going to start that because you're home in the morning. Then just put it right after get dressed, start oven, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, whatever it is. Do it for 10 days. And see if your days don't go more smoothly just because you've planned out your work. Now, you're never going to get to the point where you have 100% planned work and no reactive work. Like, that's unrealistic. So don't set that expectation. If you get to 80% of your day being planned, that's like A++++++. It's like 110%. It's all the extra bonus points. 80%. There is no 100%. Things are going to come up. Life is going to happen. But the goal is to move way more into planned work and less reactive work. Now, there are two more kinds of work. I am going to share those with you on the next podcast. Have a great day.